The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. The International Coalition for Human Rights in the Philippines has called for full accountability following the arrest of former Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte. In a news conference Tuesday, March 18th, ICHRP members, parliamentarians, legal experts, and advocates spoke about the urgency of holding accountable all those responsible for the atrocities committed during Duterte's presidency and for the ongoing systematic violence under current Philippine President Bongbong Marcos. One of the speakers at this news conference was Nane Lore, mother of two victims of Duterte's so-called drug war and a member of the NGO Rise Up for Rights and Life. Let's listen to what she has to say. Nane Lore's remarks are delivered in Tagalog. Interpretation into English is provided by another member of Rise Up for Rights and Life, Deaconess Ruilyn Letao.
Pag-aresto kay Duterte ay isang unang hakbang para makamit ng mga biktima ang justicia.
According to Nane Lore, the arrest of Duterte is the first step for the families of victims to have justice.
Wini-welcome namin ang arrest warrant, ang pag-aresto, at na-excite kami at naging masaya dahil nakadetine na siya sa The Hague.
So when the news came that Duterte will be arrested, Nanay Lore together with the other families are excited and welcome this action of the ICC. And now he is in The Hague, Netherlands.
Sa katunayan po ay ang mga pamilya ng Rise Up for Life and for Rights ay sobrang masaya at walang mapagsidlan ng aming kasiyahan kahit alam namin na hindi pa ito ganap.
Okay, according to Nanay Lore, together with the families, they are very happy with this news last week because their excitement, their happiness is very fulfilling for Duterte to be arrested.
Handa po kaming ipagpatuloy ang laban sa kabila ng mga paninira ng kampo ng mga Duterte.
Okay. Nani Lore is saying that she is prepared to continue the fight, tuloy ang laban, especially now that there are many things happening wherein the group of Duterte is spreading all kinds of stories against the victims' families. Because the victims here are the families whose loved ones have been killed.
Ako po sa personal kong karanasan, sa kasalukuyan ay may mga kumakalat na isang post na napakasama ng mga sinasabi.
Right now, Nanay Lore is receiving bad news about her sons by being vocal to this looking for justice. There are bashers in the social media, and she is somewhat affected by these bashers. But still, she opts to continue the fight for justice.
Katunayan po, isang gabi na hindi ako nakatulog. Napaka sa pagkabahala. Bakit nila ginagawa sa akin?
Actually, there were nights that she was not able to sleep because of receiving all this kind of negative news and negative posts in the social media.
Ang nakasaad po sa post ay kapitbahay ko lang daw po siya, pero hindi ko naman siya kilala dahil hindi naman nagpakilala yung nag-post. Ngunit sa kabila ng mga pangyayari, tuloy pa din ako sa pagdalo ng meeting at nagsasalita.
According to her, the person who is putting bad news is that he is their neighbors, and she knows Nanay Lore and her sons. But still, she was not able to identify who was that who was that people spreading lies and spreading posts against Nanay Lore.
Sa katunayan po, kaming mga nanay ng Rise Up na nagsasalita ay may mga kapareha ding banta, may mga kaparehang posts. Kaya sobra po kami nababahala, pero ang aking mga anak at mga iba ring mga kaibigan at kakilala ay sumusuporta din sila sa aming laban.
As of now, it's not only Nanay Lore who's receiving bad and negative posts to get other families are also receiving negative posts, especially those families who were able to publicly present their fight for justice. Different forms are being used to the families for them to shut up, to stop what they are doing. But still, the families are ready, and amidst this kind of social media bashers, especially now we are monitoring the bashers. So right now, that's our overwhelming experience right now since last week.
Ang nakakalungkot pa nga po ay mga kadugo ko pa, ang mga nagsasalita sa akin ng mga masasama. Kaya siyempre para sa aming mga biktima, sobra kaming nahihirapan, mabigat sa pakiramdam.
Okay. So some of them are receiving this kind of bashing to their relatives. So it's very sad that some of their families are not supportive for this cause. But still, there are also some who are supporting and sending messages of support and sending messages of inspiration to the family. So those kind of mixed emotions.
Kahit mabigat sa pakiramdam, ay patuloy pa rin ako sa laban. Kasi kung hindi ako lalaban, sino pa? Talo ako, talo kami. Kaya biglang pumasok sa isip ko na mga biktima na nga kami, binibiktima pa kaming muli. Dahil ang pronouncement ni Duterte, siya yung biktima. Pero ang totoong biktima, kaming mga pamilya ng mga pinaslang.
So Nanay Loret is emphasized that the real victims here are the families who lost their loved ones and not Duterte, as being shown by Duterte supporters in the social media. So given this continuing negative and then bad posting to the families who spoke up, they still decided to continue the fight. They are the victims and not Duterte. And Nanay is saying they are victims, and right now they are being revictimization with this kind of things going on.
Samantalang si Duterte ay inaresto ng maayos. Binigyan siya ng due process. Binasahan siya ng lahat ng karapatan at ibinigay sa kanya. Ngayon, kami na hindi namin na-enjoy yung ganong karapatan at ganong pag-imbestiga, yun ang ipinagkait sa mga biktima, yung due process na na-enjoy ngayon ni Duterte. Napaka-special niya kung tutuusin doon sa The Hague. Pero marami pa rin reklamo yung mga kampo niya.
So Nanay Lore saying Duterte experienced due process. She was given ample time to present herself. And then right now in The Hague, we are saying that he is receiving treatment. All due process is given to him, unlike the families whose loved ones have been killed. They were not given time to present themselves. They just being killed. So no due process have been made to the families killed, to the members of the families being killed.
Kaya ang pag-grant ng interim release kay Duterte at makauwi dito sa Pilipinas ay napakalaking banta ng seguridad sa aming buhay ng mga biktimang lumalaban para sa hustisya sa aming mga kaanak. Hinding-hindi kami papayag.
Okay. So when there is a news that Duterte can avail of the interim release, Nanay Lore together with the families is a threat to the families and to the supporters, because right now he is not here, but still the families are being threatened. What more if he will be allowed to come in to bring back here in the Philippines? So that's why the families are saying they will not allow that to happen. So Duterte must be must stay in the Hague to present himself and to go into the due process afforded by the International Criminal Court itself.
Kaya kaming mga pamilyang biktima ay makikipagtulungan sa pagpapahayag para sa pagpapanagot kay Duterte at sa lahat ng kanyang mga general, kapulisan, gayon din ang lahat ng mga sangkot sa kanyang Peking War on Drugs. Nais din naming panagutin si Marcos at hilingin ang pagbalik natin sa pagiging miyembro ng ICC.
So, Nani Lore is saying the families are ready to shed light on the on what's happening in this war on drugs, so that Duterte will be held accountable to what she did, to what he did during his presidency, together with his generals. And so we are also calling the Philippines to the government of Marcos to rejoin the International Criminal Court.
Ano, sabi ko na din na yun nga na ang pag-aresto kay Duterte ay unang hakbang patungo sa pagkamit namin ng hustisya. Kaya kami po ay nagpapasalamat sa ganitong pagkakataon na binigay sa amin upang ipahayag kung ano yung tunay naming damdamin ng mga biktima. Maraming salamat po at mabuhay po tayong lahat.
Okay, so we are saying together with the mothers, rise up. Now speaking as in behalf of Rise Up for Life and for Rights as the Advocates, we thank you for this opportunity and we continue to thank you, the iChirp, for being with us throughout this journey. We have had many instances where we were able to share the what is happening, the situation here in the Philippines. And thank you for being with us. And hopefully until it's just the beginning, so we continue to fight for justice together with the families. So thank you.
That was Nani Lori, mother of two victims of Duterte's so-called drug war and a member of the NGO Rise Up for Rights and Life. Interpretation of her remarks into English was provided by another member of Rise Up for Rights and Life, the deaconess Ruby Lynn Latow. She was speaking at a news conference Tuesday, March 18th, held by the International Coalition for Human Rights in the Philippines. We'll have more in a moment. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Another speaker at this news conference was social justice activist Brandon Lee. In August 2019, Lee was shot multiple times by members of the 54th Infantry Battalion of the Armed Forces of the Philippines. The assassination attempt left him paralyzed from the chest down. Lee was able to escape the Philippines and now lives in the United States with his family. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Duterte's arrest is a big step toward justice for the thousands of victims. We know that his arrest is the product of the Filipino people's collective struggle for accountability and justice. Let there be no mistake. The international community will be closely watching this. iChirp will continue to support the Filipino people's demand for justice and accountability from Duterte and all his cronies in the government, military, and police. Duterte's arrest is deeply personal to me, as one of over 30,000 victims of his bloody regime. While the world knows about the atrocities of his war on drugs, which is really a war on the poor, under Duterte's regime, there were also a lot of killings of civilians and revolutionaries from his counterinsurgency plan, which violated human rights and international humanitarian law. From my experience, many of the killings happen in the rural areas, especially indigenous and impoverished communities, to permanently silence the people defending their land and livelihood. The third day's crackdown on dissent is eerily similar to his crackdown on his war on drugs against the poor. His shoot-to-kill order did not just target suspected drug users. He targeted activists too. I myself survived the attempted assassination, which caused severe trauma to me and my family. Duterte's lesser known war on dissent, especially in the countryside of the Philippines, that terrorized thousands of rural poor peasants and farmers, needs to also be scrutinized under a microscope and put on trial. I documented the human rights violations and abuses of the Philippine military in Ifugao. The Philippine military raped indigenous minors. They threatened, harassed, intimidated, and placed community leaders under surveillance for opposing, criticizing government programs and policies. They forced many indigenous people, peasants, to surrender as MPA rebels. They bombed and militarized communities. They dropped the international restricted bomb, white phosphorus, in the indigenous communal forest in the province of Abra in 2017, and most recently in Kalinga in 2023. They red tagged us as communist terrorists. And when that did not stop and deter our organizing work, they attempt to silence us as they did to Ricardo Mayumi, an indigenous leader in Ifugao, killed for defending his community from being damned. He was killed. Duterte is now begging for the people's sympathy as an 80-year-old man in custody. But the victims of Duterte and their families were given no sympathy. He ordered the murder of a sick and elderly activist, including 71-year-old peace consultant Randy Ichanis, who was ruthlessly tortured and stabbed to death by state agents in his own apartment, unable to defend himself. Under Duterte, 442 were extrajudicially killed. The bullets that are used in the counterinsurgency operations and that are still embedded in my body were most likely funded by our U.S. government and our tax dollars. In his presidency, Duterte was the number one human rights violator, enabled by the United States government through the funding, the training, the arming of the Philippine military and police in his bloody counterinsurgency plan, which continues today under Bongbong Marcos, who is the son of the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos. Duterte's failed economic policy of build, 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 which led to kill, kill, kill. He welcomed multinational corporations with open arms, mining dams and plantations that threatened the environment, displaced the indigenous and rural communities, and sought to silence anyone who resisted. This is still happening under Bongbong Marcos. I testified at the International People's Tribunal, which found both Duterte and Marcos Jr. guilty of many war crimes and violations of international humanitarian law. Duterte must now pay the price and be prosecuted to the fullest extent of international law. Despite his crimes, he continues to enjoy privileges, unlike those who were violently arrested, tortured, and detained in inhumane conditions under his regime. While victims suffer, Duterte remains free from the same suffering he inflicted upon countless victims, even today after his arrest. Let us not also forget that the present Marcos administration is no different from Duterte. In fact, indigenous people under this current administration are experiencing worse human rights violations with the weaponization of the anti-terror law and the Terrorist Financing Prevention and Suppression Act against indigenous activists and the upsurge of destructive mining and energy projects in their land. This should only be the beginning with his arrest. We demand full accountability and justice for all victims of Duterte's bloody drug war, his war against the people, and his relentless attacks on indigenous people, human rights defenders, and activists. We also hold his accomplices, including the military and police, accountable, as well as the current Marcos Jr. administration, which continues Duterte's tyrannical rule, including Executive Order 70, which established the National Task Force to end local communist armed conflict, that has red tagged so many civilians and activists, that put so many of our lives in danger. Let us continue to demand that the U.S. stop funding the military and police in the Philippines who are committing atrocities. Justice for all human rights defenders killed and persecuted under Duterte's regime. Justice for all victims of Duterte's drug war. Stop U.S.-backed war crimes. Hold Duterte and his accomplices accountable. End impunity now. Thank you all.
That was social justice activist Brandon Lee speaking at a news conference Tuesday, March 18th, held by the International Coalition for Human Rights in the Philippines. We'll hear more in a moment. This is Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Another speaker at this news conference was Janet Rice, a high-ranking member of the NGO Investigate PH and a former member of the Australian Senate.
In President Duterte's arrest is an important first step towards justice after years of pressure from people's organisations. In 2021, Investigate PH was launched as an initiative of peoples from all over the world concerned about the state of human rights in the Philippines, and I served in this project as a commissioner. Investigate PH conducted multiple independent hearings on human rights violations, which substantiated the June 2020 report of the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights concerning gross violations of human rights in the Philippines. So the arrest of Duterte is an important victory for the Filipino people, and we want to especially recognise the role of witnesses and the victims who testified in Investigate PH. The arrest of Duterte is one step towards justice, but there are many more steps to come, including the accountability of many other government officials who were involved in executing his war on drugs and addressing the systems of state violence set up under Duterte that applied war on drug type killings and persecution of activists and human rights defenders. There were some key findings that Investigate PH came up with. It identified three wars against the people waged under Duterte. There was the war on poor people in the guise of a war on drugs. There was a war on dissent. And there was a war on the Moro and Indigenous peoples of the Philippines. And these wars continue to this day. In Duterte's war on the poor, police operated under total impunity. They're essentially committing summary executions without due process, often creating false evidence and obstructing the justice process. And in Duterte's war on dissent and on the Moro and Indigenous peoples, Duterte created two key machineries of terror: the National Task Force to End Local Communist Armed Conflict, or NTF-LCAC, and the Anti-Terrorism Law. And these mechanisms served as a foundation for the weaponization of the courts against dissent and for the military and the police to bypass the courts to violate rights, both of which perpetrate and institutionalise impunity. Under Duterte, the anti-terror law and the NTF-LCAC institutionalise the use of terrorism as a catch-all to criminalise any political opposition. And the NTF-LCAC suppression, it extends to religious institutions like the United Church of Christ of the Philippines, Haran Center in Davao City, which has been subjected to harassment under financial provisions of anti-terror money laundering. And Haran's bank accounts were frozen as a punishment for serving as a refuge for Indigenous Lumad who were displaced by their communities by militarisation. And these policies and laws, together with the red tagging, resulted in violations of international humanitarian law, as was seen in the killing of civilians, the mistreatment of captured New People's Army combatants, and the continued killing of National Democratic Front of the Philippines peace consultants, who are a protected category of persons under the Joint Agreement on Security and Immunity Guarantees Agreement between the Filipino government and the NDFP, in addition to being protected as non-combatants under international humanitarian law. So in the end, Investigate PH found the crimes of lack of accountability. Investigate PH found the lack of accountability and that domestic measures and remedies for crimes allegedly orchestrated from the highest offices of the state and security services, they have proved totally ineffective, and it required and requires international investigation and solidarity. And this is particularly the case because the mechanisms put in place under Duterte continue to this day, and many of Duterte's cronies continue to live on and operate in impunity today under the Marcos Jr. regime. So we are renewing the call today for the Marcos Jr. regime to abolish the NTF-LCAC and to repeal the anti-terror law. And finally, all of those involved in Duterte's war on drugs must also be arrested and put on trial for their participation in these murders.
That was Janet Rice, a high-ranking member of the NGO Investigate PH and a former member of the Australian Senate. Let's wrap up with iChirp chairperson Peter Murphy.
We all know that former President Duterte did not personally kill tens of thousands of Filipino civilians. The ICC has information about many other officials of his administration who implemented these illegal, deadly programs. So iChirp calls for the ICC to issue warrants for the arrest of other perpetrators of these crimes against humanity under Duterte. We allege that these include Lieutenant General Antonio Palade Jr., a former chief of the Southern Luzon Command and chief spokesperson of the NTF-LCAC. In these roles, Palade conducted a red-tagging and alleged murder spree. Delfin Negrillo Lorenzana is a retired Filipino Army general who served as Secretary of National Defense in the cabinet of President Rodrigo Duterte, and he was appointed by the president as the administrator of martial law in Mindanao. Eduardo Manahan Año is a Filipino public official and retired army general who served as the secretary of the interior and local government from 2018 in the cabinet. And Ronald Bato Marapon de la Rosa is currently serving as a senator in the of the Philippines. De La Rosa served as the chief of the Philippine National Police and was the chief implementer of the war on drugs. And finally, Hermogenes Cedanya Esperon Jr., a retired Philippine Army general who served as the national security advisor in the cabinet of Rodrigo Duterte. Esperon has long been associated with the killing and forced disappearance and torture of hundreds of civilians, including political activists. So iChirp calls for the abolition of the NTF-LCAC, echoing the call of other speakers here, and the repeal of the anti-terror law, which are mechanisms for crimes against humanity. iChirp calls for the international people's solidarity and pressure to now escalate on the Marcos Jr. regime. Marcos continues the policy of Duterte and also needs to be held accountable, especially following the verdict of the 2024 International People's Tribunal. iChirp calls on President Marcos Jr. to fully cooperate with the International Criminal Court in the coming trial of Rodrigo Duterte. And it's clear from this experience of this arrest and the coming trial that the Philippines should rejoin the International Criminal Court properly. So we call for that as well.
That was iChirp chairperson Peter Murphy speaking at a news conference Tuesday, March 18th on the arrest and trial of former Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte at the International Criminal Court. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying
so long. For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the century of lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.